I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. Matthew 21, 28 to 32. We are again looking at another parable. It says this: "There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Then Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe in him." I didn't know how to preach this parable. This one's one I've never preached before, trying to figure out. It's short, it's sweet, it's simple. It seems like one of these good 100-degree day sermons where you say, two children, one obeyed, let us pray, and let's get out of here. But being that it's 71 degrees in here and it's not 100 degrees in here, fasten your seatbelts. We're going to be here for just a little bit longer. But it is a short and simple parable. It says the father had two sons. He ordered them to work in the vineyard. One said he won't, but then he did. One said he did, will, and then did not. But we take a look at this parable and dig a little bit further. We look at how this might impact us today, how it may be lived out in our own lives. Now, you know about parables that sometimes the Lord ends a parable and says nothing about the parable. Sometimes he interprets the parable, though that's rare. Sometimes he will say a parable and ask a question of the listeners, and they will answer, and then he will make a comment. That's what happens in this parable. Jesus, at the end of the parable, says, "Which two did the will of the Father?" And they answered, "The first." And you say, well, they got it right. And then Jesus spoke to them, and we heard those words, and those next set of sentences tend to be very salty. And yet, listen closely, because there is hope in these sentences. When we hear any time of Jesus talking about the vineyard, the Jewish listeners who were hearing this would automatically think about the vineyards as being referring to the kingdom of God. And so when we have things like in the Old Testament, Isaiah 5 or Psalm 107, where the people of a God are described as the vineyard, or the Jewish people would know that this was God's kingdom people. And three times now, he's going to repeat the word believe in those salty last couple verses. He says, you don't trust him and believe him. But the tax collectors and the harlots believed him and trusted him. And even when you saw it, and I think he might be referring to the Palm Sunday, because this parable was right after the triumphal entry. He said, you did not afterward repent and believe in him. Now, one of the things that I've looked at with this parable that I think has some relevance for us today is this. This parable is about lag time between the hearing and the doing. It's our Lord himself teaching us about the dynamics of lag time. And we see in this parable, this actually two-story parable, two stories of two different people told side by side. Some of the greatest parables that Jesus taught were stories that were told side by side. But what makes this story work is that each boy is flawed. Each boy has a fault. You think of the first boy. The first boy too quickly opposes his father's will, as if the father's will was against him. This boy is defiant. And the father says, okay, we're setting out to work today for the vineyard. Son, I'd like you to come work in the vineyard today. And he said, I will not. But later on, he changes his mind and does in fact go to the vineyard. And I thought, well, how would you describe this boy? I would say that this boy is a big problem at breakfast, but he's a joy at supper. At breakfast, this kid upsets the whole family, and he has a bad attitude and says, I will not do this. Did anyone in your family act like this? Were they a boy described like this? Oh, we have some. Okay, good. They say, I will not. Many times we know people who says, I don't want to do this. But the second boy is a little bit different. And by the way, all the two-story parables in the Bible, the second part of the story is always more complicated than the first part. And this son says, yes, Dad, of course, I can't wait to go to the vineyard. He says, yes, sir, Dad, I will go. This son is so enthusiastic. This is the kind of son you want for breakfast in the morning. It helps get the day off well. When he says, would you go to the vineyard? Yes. Now I know as a parent of three children, I tended as a father to be a little milder as the more children came along. And my children can probably attest to that. But this boy, notice what he says. He says, Dad, maybe I'm glad, Dad, you suggested that. I can't wait to go to the vineyard. Unlike others in the family, he may be a little judgmental. We don't know. He may say, Mom and Dad, thank you for the privilege of letting me go out to the vineyard. Mom and Dad, I'm going to work so hard. I cannot wait for that juicy steak at supper time. I'm going to be really hungry. I love to work, Dad. I can't wait to get to the vineyard. But for whatever reason, it doesn't say. And in fact, the reason it probably doesn't say is because it's not that important to God for the story. But whatever reason, we know that the second one was so excited to go, and for some reason, he doesn't go. So this boy is a joy at breakfast. This is the one that cheers up everyone around the breakfast table. Everyone can say, yes, there's my son. Isn't he amazing? He's got such a great attitude. He's so pleasant. He's so positive. He does anything I ask. What a neat boy I have. He's such an inspiration to us all. But it's a different story at supper for him. He's a big problem at supper. And unfortunately for him, this is not a breakfast parable. This is a supper parable. So what does this parable teach? I mean, what importance does this have? I think we can look at three things that the parable tells us. The first one is this. I think the parable suggests that Jesus knows us. That this parable, like all the parables, that Jesus understands human beings. That many scholars have suggested that Jesus understands the human condition in his parables. Jesus shows in this parable that he is aware and he expects strong negative reactions to his kingly claim. When he says, those who hear these words of mine and do them are wise, he knows, because he knows the human condition, he knows that some people will say, well, I'm not sure I want to hear your words, Jesus. And Jesus also knows that just him saying these things to the people in the audience he was there and to us today is that sometimes it stirs up negative reactions. But what you notice in the parable, you don't notice anything about negative comments in the parable that Jesus addresses. The father is not even being portrayed as being someone who's terribly upset about the responses to the two boys. And I think that Jesus is pointing out that his Father is not fragile. We don't have a God who is so easily offended that he turns to rage. No, Jesus shows in this parable that he expects some pushback. And that he expects some people will enthusiastically say, "Yes, God, through Jesus, I will do whatever I need to do. Oh, God, I cannot wait to do that. Lord, oh, that sounds like an awesome idea. Sunday morning people." But he also knows that there's times where those people with their enthusiasm will go out and things will wane and they will not do it. What's interesting about this parable is that the Lord does not describe each son and gives a response to them. He just lets the story play out, like he does a lot of times in the parables. But for whatever reason, he tells us that the second son does not arrive in the vineyard. And that's why the story becomes complicated. The second son does not go to the vineyard. Now, we don't know if the son ever went to the vineyard. We don't know that. It doesn't tell us. And what we realize in the parables is no story is ever finished. And we can thank God that the parable is not finished. We can thank God that our lives and our stories are not finished. The second thing I think that we can hear in this story is that there's a lag time between the hearing and the doing. This parable helps us understand this freedom journey that the Lord allows us to go. Lord allows us to have this lag time between hearing God's word and doing God's word. There's a period of time between hearing of our weaknesses and our sins and our repenting. And what you notice in this parable, he picks something up. When he talks about this right after the triumphal entry, he says to them, "John the Baptist came to you, and he talked to you, and he said these words to you, and he preached the good news to you." And he says the harlots and the tax collectors, they repented, but you didn't. And there was a period of time, sometimes in our own lives, between the truth and what we know and experience. There's times in our lives when there's truth about ourselves and when we actually do something about that truth, about things going on in our lives. And sometimes, as we see in many people in our lives, there's a gap. There is lag time between hearing and doing, between hearing and repenting. And I think the third thing that we find out in this parable is this, that we can experience God's grace. So many people I talk to, I hear these words. Not hear these words, but I understand these words. It's this lag time between hearing of God's love for them and personally experiencing God's grace. And that's the great fact about this vineyard, about the kingdom of God, about the workers in the vineyard. In my years as a pastor, I have seen this time and time again. I meet people all the time that tell me they know in theory about God's love. They know in theory about God's faithfulness. But they will say it's not really part of my experience. And when I hear those stories, my heart sinks for a moment, and I just pray that they might experience some of this in their own lives. Then I reflect back to my own life, and maybe you reflect back to your own life, and you will realize that there were lag times between hearing about God's love and experiencing God's love in your life. One of the most beautiful verses in the New Testament, it's found in the book of Revelation, where the Lord speaks to the Laodicean church, and it says these words, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sit with him, and he with me." What a tremendous promise of grace. But in those words, do you hear something? In those words, between the knocking and the hearing his voice, do you hear the lag time? Do you hear the lag time between the knocking and the door opening? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears, anyone notices, anyone hears, and then they have the opportunity to open the door. And he says, if you open the door, I will come in. Now notice what the Lord doesn't say in this passage. He doesn't say this. He says, get ready. I'm coming right through the door, whether you like it or not. He doesn't just go crashing into your life. He doesn't take away your freedom of choice. He says, I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I hear in this parable the surprising possibility of hope that someone who has refused to listen to God may yet change his or her mind. Hope that it's never too late to respond to the grace of the gospel. Hope that it's never too late for our past actions or our current status. And these do not determine one's future. Hope that even though those whom good folk have decided are beyond the pale of decent society are never, ever, ever beyond the reach of God. If this is so, then perhaps what we might proclaim is that no matter what may have happened in the past, yet God is offering to meet us in the present and to offer us an open future of possibilities. It's never too late to say yes to God with words, with our heart, with our soul, with our whole being. It's never too late to say yes to God. And when he knocks, to open the door. Your story, my story, has lag time in it. And this parable is suggesting that that's okay. This parable shows that the lag time in the long run, that the lag time that is discovered here favors the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our Lord himself preserves this. So he doesn't seem to be all worked up about some of the resistance. And we don't hear about how the excuses of the two sons and what was going on in their lives. He doesn't spend a lot of time in the parable giving them all these details. Because I believe that he is so sure of himself that he is willing to take time for each one of us. I have often said this to parents. And I've experienced this as a parent, and so I have some history with this. I tell them, for your children, the story is never over. The key to parenting is knowing how to stay close while also stepping back. And sometimes we have to step back in a person's life and let that person have their own journey. And sometimes you just, only thing you can do is just pray and try to be a reference point if they come your way. But you can't barge in. And the reason I know that is because I've tried. You can't barge in. You have to let each son and each daughter and each friend have their own experience of God's truth and God's grace. And there may be lag time. And Jesus is okay with that. And he set the stage for us because his truth, his faithfulness, his grace wears very well in the afternoon. It's a summertime, a supper time parable. We should never encourage people to say that they don't believe. It's better for them to say this. It's better for them to say it's finally believe what at first I could not say than at first what I did not believe. Let me say it again. It's better to finally believe what at first I could not say than to say at first what I do not believe. So the parable is short and simple, and it leaves us hanging. We don't know where the other son went. We don't know the end of the story. We just know there was, in this parable, I won't, and then there was an I will. And there was an I will, and then there was I won't. And I think this parable deserves an epilogue. I'm going to put an epilogue to the end of this parable this morning. How would it go? Well, maybe something simple like this. The father would glance at his sons with all the history of his sons in his mind. And he would glance at his sons with a glad surprise, saying, "See, my children, they will, and they do."